It's the Daily News Flash from Wine Country with Barry Martin, briefing you on today's top stories.
You got it. And off we go into the deep end. There's lots of news today. Let's lead off with the extraordinary story from Windsor, California. Mayor Dominic Fapoli there presided over what the San Francisco Chronicle called an eerie calm. Rather, he presided with an eerie calm. All through at least half, 3 hours was half of the emergency meeting of Windsor's town council. Fapoli in the center square of the Zoom screen, listening to repeated calls for his resignation. Citizens cursed at him, insisted that he resign. They broke down into tears. Fellow council members also joined in to demand Fapoli's resignation. In addition to the council colleagues there, more than a dozen elected officials have asked Fapoli to resign. 8 other mayors in Sonoma County, both U.S. congressmen representing the North Bay, Jared Huffman of San Rafael and Representative Mike Thompson of St. Helena, the congressmen have said in a joint statement that Fapoli shows a pattern of predatory sexual misconduct that is deplorable and totally unacceptable. The meeting went on for some 6 hours. Fapoli excused himself after the 3-hour mark. There was a short break, and the calls continued from citizens for his resignation. Throughout the evening, not a single public comment came in support of Dominic Fapoli. What happens next remains to be seen. A recall effort is already underway, and the town manager described to his council members there at the start of the meeting that they really don't have a remedy. There's no such thing as impeachment at the town council level. That's not a common situation. If you think about it, even up to the level of the governor's office, the method for removing someone is always recall. So we'll wait and see for the next chapter in the outrageous Windsor scandal around Dominic Fapoli. That is top story number one today. Now, a meeting is happening tonight as well with a lot of public comment expected. Fortunately, it's not something sleazy, as is in the case there in Windsor, but it is contentious. That's a meeting of the Napa Valley Unified School District. Their special meeting tonight is focused on a plan to close Harvest Middle School. And if you feel like it's deja vu all over again, yes, this is the second time the closure of Harvest has come up as an issue for the board. A school with a similar dual language immersion program would take over the North Napa school campus that's currently River Middle School on Salvador Avenue. River School moved to that site just a little more than a year ago. Now, the intention of these changes, the closure and the move, and the idea is to save the Unified District about $2.2 million a year, trying to cope with attendance declines that began in the middle of the last decade. And the forecast for enrollment is that it will drop to just over 14,300 by the 2027-28 school year, down from 18,000 in 2014-15. The Unified School District Board will hear the proposal and public comments tonight. They're expected to vote on the plan April 22nd. It's certain to also be a long meeting with lots of public comment, and there will probably be some pointing of fingers and angry accusations and so on. But again, at least it's all above board, and no one is accused of any crimes at this time in that situation. Thank goodness. That's top story number two. Moving along. In Napa County, a report of 18 new cases of coronavirus on Wednesday. Local hospitals are treating 5 Napa County residents currently. The case counts, as we've seen, a little bit above where they were for a few weeks, but the focus now is on hospitalizations, with only 5 people in the hospital, a good sign. Merced County asked for a review of their data, and they moved out of the purple tier into the red, so now there are no counties any longer in the purple tier. 22 counties are in the red, 33 are in the orange, and 3 have made it all the way to the yellow. Vaccination issues, though, top the COVID news today. CDC panel yesterday ended an emergency meeting without making a decision on lifting the pause on the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Experts on that panel said they did not yet have enough information to make a decision about changing their recommendation. Now, in California, vaccine allocations are expected to stay relatively flat, according to state epidemiologist Dr. Erica Pan yesterday, and that flatness will remain about 3 weeks. Part of the reason, the pause on the J&J. She said this at the meeting of the California Community Vaccine Advisory Committee. But the lack of an increase in supply could mean longer waits for vaccination appointments, as we're just now today opening the state up to eligibility for anyone 16 and older. Some Bay Area counties already taken that step. Today's the day it is official statewide. Anyone 16 and up is now eligible to get a vaccine if you can get an appointment and if the entity supplying the vaccine has some to give. That's top story number 3 for today. On number four, it's the Paul Flores story now. He will be arraigned today in a San Luis Obispo County courtroom. James McKiernan is an attorney in the Central Coast. He told KSBY in an interview that the district attorney in San Luis Obispo, Dan Dow, would not bring charges against Paul Flores without enough evidence to convict him. Paul Flores and his father, Ruben, charged with major crimes here, felony murder for Paul Flores and accessory to murder for his father, who is 80 years old. He was a much younger man back in 1996 when Kristen Smart, a Cal Poly freshman, was last seen walking to the dorms with Paul Flores. And since then, he has been first a person of interest and then by this year the prime suspect in her disappearance. In fact, there's never been really another suspect of any significance in this case in all these 25 years. Flores, now in jail, and to be arraigned today. The reason, of course, that this case matters in Napa, Kristen Smart did attend Vintage High School for 1 year. Her father was Stan Smart at the time, the principal of Vintage High School in Napa. And so this case has always been sort of a regionally connected to the Cal Poly San Luis Obispo area. So we'll continue to follow that story. It's fascinating as well that the district attorney, sheriff's office, everyone there giving credit to the podcaster who been working on a podcast on the Kristen Smart case in 2019, and through that work revealed some witness testimony that the sheriff's office and DA's had not had before. And so that created quite a break in the case over the last couple of years. Top story number 4, the latest on the Kristen Smart story. Number 5, a medical expert testifying for the defense in the murder trial of Derek Chauvin in Minneapolis told jurors on Wednesday that the manner of George Floyd's death was undetermined. That was contrary to various prosecution witnesses who labeled the death a homicide. On the stand was Dr. David Fowler, former head of the medical examiner's office in Maryland, and he said he believes that George Floyd had a sudden cardiac arrhythmia due to underlying heart issues while being restrained and subdued by police. Several witnesses for the prosecution had previously said that Floyd died from low oxygen due to the law enforcement restraint. Chief medical examiner for Hennepin County, who conducted the autopsy, told jurors that Floyd's heart disease was a contributing cause to his death. That's top story number 5 today. Number 6, the Biden administration getting tough with the Russians today, announcing the expulsion of 10 diplomats and sanctions against nearly 36 people and companies, moving to hold the Kremlin accountable for interference in last year's presidential election and the hacking of federal agencies. This has been expected for some weeks, first retaliatory measures announced by the Kremlin for what was called the Solar Winds hack. That was the intrusion you heard about in the news where Russian hackers infected widely used software with malicious code and enabled them to access the networks of at least nine agencies that included Homeland Security. U.S. officials believe it was an intelligence gathering operation aimed at mining government secrets. In addition to that hack, U.S. officials last month alleged that Russian President Vladimir Putin authorized influence operations to help Donald Trump in his unsuccessful bid for re-election. There's no evidence that Russia or anyone else changed any votes or manipulated the outcome directly. Top story number six this morning. Number seven, Democrats in the House plan to introduce a bill to expand the Supreme Court from 9 to 13 justices. This is reported in a tweet on Wednesday night from New York Representative Mondaire Jones, saying he's introducing what's called the Judiciary Act of 2021. The chair of the House Judiciary Committee is Jerry Nadler, also from New York, and he is signing on to this bill as well. And he said during a meeting on Wednesday that a further announcement will be coming today. Republicans fear the potential for court packing. Legislation to expand the court would face an uphill battle in the evenly divided Senate. And in fact, there are many Democrats who are unsure about adding justices as a smart move. That's top story number seven right now. Number eight, a little closer to home, the Calistoga City Council will be holding a virtual public meeting a week from today. It's Thursday, April 22nd. To discuss the status of the Napa County Fairgrounds in Calistoga. The city was poised to buy that property from the county last year, but then pandemic, and the deal went on hold. The purpose of the forum is to address community concerns and misconceptions, take questions and comments about the future use of the property. There's been no new developments about the purchase since for quite some time. But the forum will give a chance for people to refresh their memories, according to Mayor Chris Canning. He spoke on the topic during a city council meeting April the 6th. That's top story number eight, direct from Calistoga. And number nine today, this is the financial news that has the stock market excited. New unemployment claims dropped dramatically down to 576,000 last week. I don't have the last week or the previous week figures in front of me, but I think that's a drop of 150,000, 200,000 compared to the week previous. And at the same time, we see an economic report that retail sales jumped up 9.8% in the month of March. That is no pun intended, a real shot in the arm for the economy, and in part because of the vaccinations. People getting vaccinations now feel more free to get out and do things, including buying stuff and eating out and doing all the other stuff that we've all been denied. Retail sales up 9.8% in the month of March, and new unemployment claims drop big time, both very good signs for the economy right now. And top story number 10, ring the bell, made it all the way to number 10. Century Napa Valley Theaters is one of seven Bay Area Cinemark theaters that will screen all of the Academy Award nominees and some of the best short film nominees as well. Chance to see these films on the big screen, the way God intended, is next week, week of April 19th through the 25th. This is an event that I personally was wondering if they would be able to make this happen this year. Theaters, of course, have been back in operation since Napa County and other Bay Area counties moved into the orange tier. But they are, of course, restricted in terms of capacity. The week of April 19th is the annual Oscar Movie Week Festival for Cinemark Theaters. Get this, the report that I saw, I need to double check this, it doesn't seem possible. Tickets for each feature-length Best Picture nominee, $5 each. Can that be for real? That's next week. Back to the movies. And that, friends, is our daily news splash. from the Wine Country for Thursday, April 15th, 2021. And it's worth a mention that no, it is not tax day. You have one full month more because the deadline was pushed back. Congratulations.
That was your daily newsflash from Wine Country with Barry Martin.